Well, hello, PVC family. Hope you are doing well. Our devotional for this week is actually going to be a follow-up to a video I recorded a few months ago on church, government, and civil disobedience. So this is going to be part two of that. So I want to do a follow-up. Some time has passed, so it's necessary to do that. Also, I know many people have seen MacArthur's recent statement on Grace Community Church, so I wanted to address that and also to remind you guys and further clarify what has been the thought process of the elders all along during this process. So let's get started. Now, first off, by way of reminder, remember some things that I stated in part one of the video of church, government, and civil disobedience. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can go back and listen to it on our YouTube channel or on Facebook. But here are a few highlights by way of reminder. We said in the very beginning that the elders are the ones who have authority over the church, not the government. The elders are the ones who can consider the things government says as guidelines and choose to follow or not. But it ultimately lies with the authority of the elders. So from the beginning of the pandemic, we recognize Christ is Lord. He is over the church and over all government and family. And the elders are given to shepherd the church out of wisdom. So the authority is within the elders. In part one, we considered that if we were living in that time of civil disobedience. And so we looked at a few principles. We looked at Romans 13. We saw that we are to obey the government when they're actually acting in a lawful way. Act 5 gives us the precedence for disobedience. When obedience to man is disobedience to God, we must obey God rather than men. And to disobey is not because we're frustrated. It's not because we're inconvenienced or our rights are being stepped on, but only when obedience to man is disobedience to God. When we disobey, we must also be willing to receive the consequences. So we must be biblically persuaded of our duty whenever that is the case. We talked about Hebrews 10:25, about not neglecting the assembly, but the proper context of that being when the people are free to come, when they're free and to willfully come, but they'd rather go do something else, like go camping or something. Those are who are regularly neglecting the assembly, who are making a habit of that. And that's who Hebrews is condemning there. It's not because of circumstance that they're providentially hindered. Also, the context of Acts 5, we saw obey God rather than men, is telling us when man is telling us to do something that is sinful or going against God's law, we must obey God rather than men. In that place, they were being told in Acts 5 to not preach the gospel. So obviously that was a violation of God's command to them. Yet God told them to do it. So they must obey God rather than men. Now, that is not to say we can only disobey when they say don't preach the gospel. That's not what that's saying. Any prohibition that forces us to go against an obligation to God and His word, then we must disobey those rulings. We must obey God rather than man. Also, we consider the three categories Jim Neuheiser proposed. We saw that when government exercises legitimate authority, we must obey. Early on, most of the limits on gatherings were not placed on Christians, but as time elapsed, you know, we're able to see a little bit more. When the government tells us to disobey God's law or to sin, then we must disobey them. And so that's pretty clear. First, if the government exercises legitimate authority, we must obey. Second, if they tell us to disobey or sin, we must disobey them. Third, we also saw that when the government exceeds its authority, the church can choose to obey or disobey and consider the consequences. We concluded that we're in category 3, that yes, we recognize they've exceeded those authority and we can choose whether to obey or disobey. But the government, when they exceed, we need to discern how to properly proceed while counting the cost. Now, just for insight, the purpose of the first video was to prepare our people because we were planning to disobey when it came to communion. At that time, the governor in Washington prohibited us from having communion together, something we are explicitly commanded to do. We considered that a clear overreach of the matter, and we must obey God rather than man. So what I was doing in that video, and you can go back and listen to it, is I was calling you to fast and pray, to really consider the cost, because we didn't want to disobey lightly. However, What happened as we were fasting and praying, the governor changed his stance on communion, so we continued as what we were going to do anyways, and we didn't have to disobey. Now, as far as gathering, singing, preaching, basically everything we've been commanded in Scripture to do, we have been able to do. By God's good providence, He's given us the property to do our drive-in / outdoor service, and when we've been able to do these things, we've been able to have all our people gather together. By using the property, we saw that as an opportunity to gather, enjoy the means of grace. We're not hindered from those things. We're seeking to be at peace with all men as far as it's possible with us. So we're spacing out. We're doing those things while all participating in the means of grace and enjoying corporate worship together. So we were able to do that on our property. The church isn't a building. We're doing church each Lord's Day, and we have been the past 12 weeks on our property. Now, 12 weeks ago, MacArthur also said this at the time. He says, what should mark Christians is mercy, compassion, love, kindness, sacrifice. How are you doing that when you flaunt the fact that you're going to meet and essentially you're saying we disregard the public safety issues? You do not really want to say that. That does not help the gospel cause. What helps the gospel cause is to say, of course we don't want to be a cause to anyone's sadness, anyone's sorrow, anyone's sickness, and certainly anyone's death. So we'll gladly comply. This is consistent with what Scripture says, that we want to live quiet and peaceful lives in the society in which we live. If the magistrate, as he calls it, asks you to refrain from meeting because of pestilence, you do not meet, quoting Richard Baxter there. He then says, on the other hand, if the magistrate tries to force you not to meet because of persecution of Christianity, you meet anyways. So MacArthur said that earlier. He drew the line in the sand there. And so this is kind of a review of what we talked about last time. So naturally, a follow-up is necessary. 12 weeks have passed since then. What seemed to be first a health concern is becoming more and more clear that it is overreach, that it could be targeted. And the key is discerning through this. As many have seen, MacArthur has released that statement that he's now not going to obey the new orders that California has. So what has changed? I want to address this, and I want to also see how this applies to us and how the elders have been thinking. I want everyone to know where the elders have been standing this whole time. When we as elders have been coming together, we have always affirmed that Christ is Lord over all. We have never thought the government is over us. Christ is Lord over all. Christ is Lord over the government. Government, rightly understood, is a servant of God, Romans 13:2. Therefore, God is Lord and sovereign over all. The church has one authority, which is God. The state does not rule or dictate over us, but Christ has given the elders to lead and guide the church. So knowing that, it's a great responsibility, something we don't take lightly. We must come to these things with great discernment, understanding that to disobey is not something we do lightly. So decisions that have been made by the elders so far are not because we're bowing the knee to the state, but because these decisions the elders have made, and we, as we desire to lead and wrestle with how to honor God while shepherding and doing good to the church and seeking to be at peace with all men. So we can take things like the CDC says into consideration and guidelines, and we can choose to implement that, but it's ultimately the elders' decision. What the elders are doing is not absolute submission to the government, but wisdom, carefulness as we discern, as we wade through these waters and proceed with caution. This has required us to sacrifice in some little bit, right? Little comforts for the sake of our obedience to God's word and gathering and our witness to our town. So knowing that, I'm thankful many have supported us. I'm thankful many have been praying for the elders, and I hope you continue to do so. Now, let's address the MacArthur's recent letter, and I just want to flush some things out here. Now, first, it's important to understand the context. California has been one of the most liberal and aggressive of the states. They have recently outlawed singing, things which we are commanded to observe in Scripture. Now, this is not the same in all states. Now, some of the blue states, like Washington, tend to generally follow the lead that California does. But I'm thankful up to this point, it hasn't been to the same extent yet in Washington. Now, MacArthur has, during this time, sought to be at peace, following guidelines of the CDC, recently doing an outdoor service. Personally, I think he should have done it a lot sooner, but he did it nonetheless. And as he did it, hundreds of people came, which went over the outdoor mandated requirement by the government. In light of the recent protests that have been happening and the huge crowds and the lack of requirements and concern that the state had on them, it seems to be some bias and inconsistency and targeted. So in his last statement, it seemed as time progressed, he has drawn the line in the sand. It's become more clear. And given that context, must obey God rather than man. There is a sense in which they're prohibiting him from singing, prohibiting gathering. They've gone back in California and prohibited those things. And so MacArthur is trying to give us, give him his church a way to understand how we can disobey in a God-honoring way. Now, if you read his article, it's titled A Biblical Case for the Church to Remain Open. And what MacArthur is appealing to here is called sphere sovereignty. It's also known as Kuyperianism. Abraham Kuyper is one who really argued this, and he's famous for saying there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And with that, I say amen. Amen. That is true. MacArthur goes on to state, God has established three institutions within human society, the family, the state, and the church. Each institution has a sphere of authority with jurisdictional limits that must be respected. When any of the three institutions exceeds the bound of its jurisdiction, it is the duty of the other institution to curtail that overreach. So in other words, there's three spheres. There's three dominant spheres, we could say. You have the sphere of the church, you have the sphere of the family, and the sphere of the state, all which are under the ultimate sphere of Christ's lordship. And with that, we would absolutely agree. And each is required, really, to honor his sphere, to stay in his lane, if you will. When one gets out of those spheres, then it's the responsibility of the other to remind them, hey, stay in your sphere. So these are the spheres he's referring to. And this is just what we would call a sphere sovereignty or Kuyperianism. MacArthur has drawn the line in the sand. He has identified where those things are overstepping and the sphere, where the government overstepping into the sphere of the church. Thus, he's not obeying. He adds this, therefore, it's a response of the recent state order requiring churches in California to limit or suspend all meetings indefinitely. We, the pastors and elders of Grace Community Church, respectfully inform our civic leaders they have exceeded their legitimate jurisdiction, and faithfulness to Christ prohibits us from observing the restrictions they want to impose on our corporate worship services. Said another way, it has never been the prerogative of civil government to order, modify, forbid, or mandate worship. And with that, I absolutely agree. But there's one thing I also think needs to be appealed to. For those who want to appeal to sphere sovereignty as a way of disobedience to the government, this must be taken into account. You must wade through these waters and consider them. Now, a proper understanding of sphere sovereignty also recognizes these are not three separate spheres, but there is some overlap in areas of these spheres that must be recognized. Abraham Kuyper actually argued this. But it's so often forgotten or not even mentioned by those who want to appeal to sphere sovereignty. So there is some overlap and a gray area where, you know, there is some of that. And so it takes discernment on how to do it. Let me give you an example. The church is still bound to obey the laws of the government in regard to, let's say, if we were building a church. We have a property. We hope to build a church there one day. Now there's laws of the land that dictate how to do that, right? There's fire codes. Now, if the government deems it unsafe or improper for the church to build there, or there's certain things that they need to do, the church doesn't just say, well, I'm building anyways. You've overstepped your lane. This is where I'm worshiping. You can't do that. No, there's some overlap that is respected and recognized. Even if we don't like it, even if we don't agree with that, we obey. So there's that overlap there that we have to discern carefully, that we can't just say, hey, three separate spheres, that's it, and you're budging in. No, there's some overlap that must be understood and respected. So there is a realm in which government has protection over its citizens and which they can say, in which does overlap a little bit into the church. Now, discerning what is that gray area is the key. That's the key here. When government obligates us to be disobedient to God, it's clear we must disobey. This is the key to civil disobedience. We have to identify what is that gray area and when is it considered overstepping. I would have loved to see that acknowledged within MacArthur's letter. Nevertheless, I think it is good. There is that gray area. It needs to be considered. But I believe when they cause us to violate God's command to us, when obedience to government causes us to sin against God, we disobey. It is not when obedience to government inconveniences us, but when obedience to man is disobedience to God. The government can say for a time of pestilence, hey, here's what is a health thing to do. Here is what we need to do for a time. We can see these guidelines. We can follow it. But if it causes us to sin against God, we disobey, right? So having said that, when we're forbidden to sing, we disobey. When we're forbidden to worship, we disobey. When we're forbidden to preach, we disobey. When we're forbidden to do the Lord's Supper or baptism, we disobey. This is why we are utilizing our church property. We have resumed services there as we walk in wisdom with the health guidelines, as we seek to be at peace with all men as far as it's possible with us, as we gather and enjoy the means of grace corporately together by obeying the commands God has given. We are free currently to participate in all these things as we're at our church property. So I absolutely agree with MacArthur in his context that he's in California, where they're telling him not to gather and sing. We are currently not in that exact same setting. Not saying it won't come here. If it does, may we be ready. But to say, I can't be here because it's rainy, I can't be here because it's cold, or the sound's too hard to hear, is not merely this sense here. That's just an inconvenience. That's not a reason to disobey. It's not a license to just say, hey, I need to disobey. I want to be in the building. No. When we disobey, we do so because it's causing us to sin against God, to disobey his commands. We have a unique thing where we have the property, where we're able to be obedient to all of God's commands, to gather, worship, participate in the Lord's Supper, fellowship, and be able to have baptism if we were able to and chose to. If the time arose, we hope to do that. And so when it comes to that point, we must obey God rather than men. There may be a time when our state will follow with California and ban gatherings and ban singing or other elements of our worship, which we are commanded to do in Scripture. When that happens, we disobey and count the cost. We don't need Caesar's blessing to worship Christ. The decision on how we gather is in the hands of the elders and of each individual congregation. For now, we are continuing to meet at our church property. We're thankful for this means God has given us to be able to enjoy all the means of grace in the church there. The church is not a building, but a gathering of believers, and we're able to enjoy that currently. Pray that continues. With that, we see we are in complete submission to the authority of Christ, that he is head over all. He is Lord over all. And when it comes for disobedience like it has in California, may God give us the strength to do so. But for now, we're able to utilize all the means of grace. We're able to gather, sing, preach, hear the word proclaimed, fellowship. We're able to enjoy the Lord's Supper and, Lord willing, one day, baptism. But if it comes a time for that to cease, for the government to say, hey, you can't do that, we must obey God rather than men. So it has come over there in California, and rightfully so, MacArthur has put that out, and I agree with that. I agree with his stance. I would have loved him to see touch on that gray area there a little bit more. But having done that, we now see and understand we must obey God where he has commanded us to do so. Singing, preaching, the means of grace, all that is entailed with gathering. We are doing that. We have been doing it for 12 weeks now. Praise God for that. And I'm thankful most of you guys have been following the leadership of the elders. Most of you guys have been praying for the elders as they wade through this, and I pray that you would continue to do so. Now, a little bit of application here as well. this is a time where churches will disagree on certain things, because this is a time that we haven't faced a lot. And so each individual church and their elders are called to discern these things and lead and guide their church. There's not a one size fits all for this. So in the midst of that, in the midst of disagreements, may we seek to maintain peace. May we seek to maintain unity, and may we be gracious and loving even in the midst of disagreements. May we unite around the gospel. May that be the forefront of what we do. And so with that, there may come a time when we will say we must obey God rather than man. Like I said earlier, we were considering that. We were going to do it, but then the government changed its stance and we didn't even have to. We just continued doing what we were doing. So with that, be praying. Be praying for our witness. Be praying that God will continue to use that church property in a great way for His glory in our community. We're thankful for it. We're glad we have it. Now, we are also praying that all these governmental things would subside and we can come back and meet in our building. But we're not bound by that. We have a property that is being used. It's being used greatly, and we're thankful for that. So be in prayer with that. We're going to continue with that. And again, this isn't bowing the knee in any way to government. It's hearing the recommendations, hearing the guidelines, and then the elders discerning that, following the ones that we are able to follow to be at peace with all men while seeking to obey the commands of the Lord in worshiping and gathering with the saints. And we're doing that physically at our outdoor service. So I continue to encourage you, come to the outdoor service. Be part of that. The means of grace are present. To make a habit of missing that then is to neglect the assembly. So may that not be us. May we encourage one another. May we sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And may we enjoy the preached word this Sunday. And so I hope to see you there. God bless.